Thank you so much, Kelby. You know, if this is your first time, you picked a great Sunday really to check out Bethel, because we have two families here with us today that you're going to get to meet. You know, 11 years ago, so next Sunday we celebrate 11 years at Bethel Community Church. So 11 years ago, my wife and I, but also another family, Pastor Mike and Christy Cantrell, we had a heart, really, there was some stuff going on in Clarksville, reaching out to Austin Peay State University. Some of you guys have heard the story. A young lady got hit by a drunk driver. She had been won to Christ. Some of our pastors called Pastor Mike, who was in Murfreesboro with me at the time. I was a youth pastor during our church in Murfreesboro. Hey, why don't you go, please go to Clarksville, because there has been a young girl that's been attending our campus ministry that has been hit by a drunk driver. Pastor Mike, he shows up, meets the family, meets some other individuals that were living here in the community. And come to find out, a couple days later, this young girl ends up passing away. And Pastor Mike comes back to our pastoral team and basically says, listen, guys, I believe there's an open door to start a church here. And they said, great, go. He said, all right, I'll go as long as I get to take Lance and Dee. And so 11 years ago, we moved our families with nothing out here, believing God that God wanted to do something great in Clarksville. And Pastor Mike and Christy are here with us today. I want Christy to stand up just for a moment. This is Christy Cantrell. Christy, stand up, smile at everybody real quick. Christy, you looking as pretty as ever, girl. You make Mike look a lot better. I'm so thankful for you. Now, the thing about Pastor Mike, though, is we go back when I was in high school. I went to high school and played football at Brentwood Academy. And we played a team called Northeast High School. And lo and behold, there was a coach there named Mike Cantrell who coached at Northeast High School. And so in a playoff game, this is before we ever even knew each one another, came to Brentwood Academy, and you know who won that playoff game, don't you? Me. I won that playoff game. What happened? I played quarterback right before halftime. Mike hates me because of this. I dropped back. No time on the clock, launched it 60 yards in the air, right in the end zone, touchdown. We won 7-6. Beat Pastor Mike Cantrell, put him out of playoffs. We all go on to win the state championship. 4 years later, I end up at Middle Tennessee State University. Look how God works. End up at Middle Tennessee State University, and guess who comes walking on my football team? Mike Cantrell shows up, doing Bible studies, and I was the only one dumb enough to show up. So I show up, get right with God, get planted in the church there, get called to ministry, become the youth pastor, and then we come out and start this church. It's amazing how God works. Give a big hand clap for Pastor Mike. Come on up, Pastor Mike. Sam, you looking good in that black suit, hero.
Hold on. You're going to dog me now.
No, I won't. I like... Oh, yeah. Well, I can't go into all those stories, land stories. You got to be careful when you're not the last one with the mic on who you talk about, though. That's for sure. But I'll be a little bit more diplomatic than that. Anyway, I'm glad to be here today. I tell you what, when Christy and I and our family drove up, we were blown away. It's so good to see all that God is doing here in Clarksville. I believe that we serve a big God. And when we came, I mean, the part of the story he didn't mention, when Lance got saved, he actually met his wife in that church. She's here on the front row. That's Deanna. And then Pastor Ron David was the pastor of that church. And so when we all decided to say, hey, we really feel called to Clarksville, and he sent us in faith, he was sending out his baby girl and four of his staff people that helped him in Murfreesboro. So we can't forget that part of the story, Pastor Ron. And that was tremendous, and that's what it's like being part of a big family in Bethel in one church. So we came from Murfreesboro, and then we came here, and you know, we really didn't know what we were doing. We just came with a big dream. And if you're willing just to have a little bit of faith and just come like a child, you understand that you have a big papa, Daddy God. And it really isn't all up to you, it's really up to him. What's impossible with man is possible with God. So we came here with 10 or 12 amazing people saying, hey, yeah, we'll start a church. I don't know what that means. And we're here going, we'll come help you start a church. I don't know what that means. And we started at Austin Peay September 12, 2004, and had our very first service at Austin Peay on the campus, because everything we do in the church is going to be geared towards the next generation and college students and campus ministry. Don't worry about the person that fell in the back. We'll make sure they're all right. That's just the anointing. They're just feeling the anointing. So 2 years later, there was a road that we didn't even know existed. It was called Tiny Town Road, and it was a tiny road. It was two-lane, and there was nothing out here except the theater over there. That was it. And we were looking for places to go, and we found this little place. And we said, God, like, what are you doing? And we moved in. We had our first service here March 11, 2006. And before we knew it, they were building that road into a four-lane, and building after building and house after house began to come. And we got to see that it really wasn't about us at all. It was about a God who loved this city, that loved this military community, that loved the families that come. And all we were the conduits of God's blessing. And you know what? It's really not about us. That's the lesson for all of us. It's just about the little yeses that prepare us to be used by God. If I'm here today, the most dangerous prayer you could pray is, yes, Lord. And I'm telling you, if you're willing to say, yes, Lord, he's willing to use you. And you're the fruit of it. So I think you ought to give yourselves a big hand for what God is doing right here. Now, one of the things I do is I kind of go around the world and get to consult churches. And so I've got a consultation for you. So you're at two services, and you're too full. You're going to have to go back to three services, Pastor Lance. There's no way. You're too full. We're going to have to add another service. So just get ready, because God is getting ready to blow the walls out of this place, literally, and continue to, every time you put your vat out, every time you put your jar out, God is going to fill it. There's not a doubt that God wants to do something unique and special here. Amen? I want to introduce you to my beautiful family. They're all here today, and we're never all here together. We had three children when we moved here. Nathan was just about 5 months old. And then we had two new babies when they came here. Can you guys come up here? Just come up on stage. This is my lovely wife, Christy, my oldest daughter, Grace, my second daughter, Molly, my first son, Nathan, my baby girl, Abigail, and my super strong Caden, Jonathan, Michael, right here on the end. Look at this. Isn't this a beautiful family? This is amazing. And I want to go ahead and bring up the Phillips. Y'all come on up. We don't ever get to do this all together. We got to do this all together. Just go on the other side, yeah, and stand over there, baby. Get them lined up like the, what's that movie? Sound of Music. Phillips, you just stay on that side. Yeah, you move that. Pastor Ron is here. Pastor Ron, you come up here. You started all this mess. And Mama Phillips is here, too. Come up here, Mama Phillips. Come on. Yes, ma'am. Come on. Come on. Get up here. This is Lance's mama. We love Miss Darlene. Come over here and stand with them. Nancy's not here today. She would love to be in this moment, I know for sure. So we got to get a picture for this. Can you help her up the steps, champ? Thank you. So this is kind of the start of what God was doing. We didn't start like this, but we're finishing like this. That's pretty amazing what God has done, all right? And so this extra special treat you have today is something unique that happened to us. We left here. We went to University of Kentucky and started a campus ministry at UK. If you're a UK fan, you got to say, go Cats. All right. If you're not a UK fan, then don't say anything. Next, after that, we ended up back at Brentwood, which is part of this family, Bethel World Outreach Church. We were connected in Murfreesboro. We were here. We went to Lexington, and then we went back to Brentwood. When we went back to Brentwood, we went back to serve on staff there and you know, to fulfill our dream as pastor. But I would have never dreamed of meeting such good friends. I mean, one thing about when I invite people to Brentwood, I don't invite them to the church. We're building a 1,600-seat sanctuary. I don't care about that. What I care about is the quality of people that we get to do life with. It's ridiculous. And it probably starts with this family. This family, the Lowe's, have become such dear friends of us that, number one, they fight over my son, Nathan. They have three boys, and they fight over him. They've adopted him as their son, as their fourth son. And really, you don't realize sometimes as a pastor how you go through life, and pastors don't get pastored very much. And for me and my family, the last 3 years in Brentwood have been extra special, because we've really not only gotten friends, not only co-workers, but we've gotten a pastor. And so you get to meet them today, and I want to bring them up here because we get everybody on stage at once. So this is the Lowe family, Pastor James Lowe, Debbie Winans Lowe, and the three Lowe boys, James.
That's a lot of us.
Come here in the middle. James, Jason, and Jackson. And as you can tell, Jackson does not lack for any personality. Come on in, Pastor James. Can we get it up for Pastor James and Debbie Lowe?
All right. First of all, it's been a while since I've been out here, so some of you don't know who I am at all. And if you've ever seen me out here before, at least raise your hand. So, okay. So they can tell you I'm somebody that they know. So, you know, I don't want anybody to say, I don't know him. Why he got the mic? Okay, you guys are amazing. The last time I was out here, you were definitely smaller. There was no walls. I mean, well, they were just closer. And you guys are growing. You guys are fulfilling words that were spoken over you through many, many, many services. The reports that we get back from the things your congregation is doing is great. And not that the church is completely military, but it's just an honor to have a church that has this many military in it, you know, that serve. And obviously our prayers are always with you and your families, especially those who are deployed. But I have all of these folks up here so that you can understand these are all the people who pray for you, who sacrifice so you make sure you have a great life. And your leader here, Pastor Lance, Pastor Lance and Dee, they're amazing. And they look like they could be on a magazine, you know. You just got to watch people like that because when they look good, the people just snatch them away from you, you know. But their whole family just looks beautiful and wonderful. And I said it in the last service, I say it again. I have given them many invitations to come and be with me in Brentwood. And I got a lots of reasons why it's a good move for them. Number one, there's a mall. No, that's a strip mall don't count. Huh? Okay, just smaller. Okay, yeah, that's good. See, that's what she do. Anytime I say anything about Clarksville, they fight me. They fight me. And what I want to say is, they don't play that. So I just want you to know that even when Pastor Lance and Dee are out of you guys' presence, they are just in love with this group of people. They have never had any, I mean, I'm sure they have other ambitions, but they won't tell me what they are. This is it for them, making you great, laying their life down for you to be great. And I'm just grateful that they invited me out here to be a part of what they're doing so good. Can we give God a round of applause for the life of Pastor Lance and Dee and their wonderful family? At this moment, what I wanted to do is I just wanted us to take a moment as a congregation to stop. And it's just been this is to me an historic moment. I know you guys still waiting on your chairs and finishing touches on your building, and that's going to be great and wonderful. But we really came out here, Debbie, myself, Mike and Christy and their families, because we feel like this church has done something incredible. It takes sacrifice, it takes hard work, it takes sticking together, it takes faith to build what you guys are building and go where you guys are going. And I want to acknowledge you. We want to pray for your congregation, but I wanted to have a moment where these families who initiated it all, who came out here when there was there anything on Tiny Town Road when y'all came out here?
Just a theater.
I mean, y'all made Tiny Town Road. Y'all made this road. You know, imagine how much faith that takes. It was nothing. And so we're going to build something for God here and for the people of God. So I want you guys to extend your hands, and we're going to pray. I want to just take a moment and just pray over this group of folk. No, I'm going to walk down the line. I'm going to hit you. Lord, I'm praying right now in the mighty name of Jesus that this work that you started in these two families God, I'm praying that it be continued. God, from the youngest, from Caden, all the way up to every kid that I'm laying hands on, Lord, I pray that a supernatural grace and favor be on them. I pray, God, that they would continue to have camaraderie. They would continue to have a love for one another, love for their work, love for their congregation, God. I pray, Lord, that they'd be examples in their community, lights for what is right. I pray, God, that you would keep them all in health and cause them to prosper, even as their souls prosper, Lord. Break up anything, God, that could mess up their life, mess up their family, God. I thank you in the name of Jesus for the divine grace and favor that is on them, God, in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, that you would stir up the gift on the inside of them, God. Bring wholeness and wellness, and God, bring complete soundness and deliverance. And God, for us who have given the opportunity to be in relationship with them, in friendship with them, God, in partnership with them, keep us all together. You said, Lord, where there is unity, you command a blessing. So we declare right now, because we are unified, because we are linked together, we are blessed, Lord, as we come into this moment. We're blessed when we go out of this moment, Lord. I thank you for the divine favor on this congregation, on this house, and on this people. Lord, I pray that your presence would abide here in a mighty way. I pray as they begin to worship you in the days to come, God, that the cloud of Almighty God would come in here, causing everything that is wicked to melt away like wax, and cause them to have the favor of God and the power of God and the grace of God to rest, rule, and abide on them. Bless us all in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give God a hand clap of praise. Did somebody take a picture of this? This is great. This is great. Okay, now you're about to have a message from Caden as we go. Okay, y'all, God bless y'all. Come on, Caden, you the last one. You want to say what you want to say? God bless you. Say God bless.
God bless you.
You want to pray? You want to say? You want to say it? No. He did good. All right, let's get into the word of God. Oh, D, you stay here for a second. Jane. Yeah, Debbie and Christy, would you hand D that? Here, D. You. We just feel like blessing D. Debbie, you come up here too. I want you to say something about D. And no, just came in and give to it.
I thank you, number one, for letting us have this moment. It's a total selfish moment for us as we go down memory lane. But I think I was reminded every time we come for this moment every year, you know, when we moved into the building, first the building was too big for us to imagine at the time. We didn't know where the money was coming from. We didn't know where the people were going to come from. We didn't know where any of that was going to come from. But I remember Mike had this moment where he invited the congregation to write prayers underneath this floor. So what you're standing on is years and years and years of believing and hoping for God. And some of those prayers, they came to fruition. Some of those didn't, and that was okay. God is providential, and he's bigger than that. But I just want you guys to understand, maybe from a very myopic, selfish standpoint, that you're sitting, you get to enjoy the fruit of a lot of people's time, talent, and treasure. Years of faithfulness, simple faithfulness over a time. And if there's anything that I could think, I would never have thought God would have used me in this way. And again, it's not really about me, but it's about the faithfulness of God. He'll use you at your darkest, weakest moment, right? He wants to use you guys in that way. And so, again, thank you for letting us be here. But I want to bring my friend up, my very good friend. And usually I don't use the term BFF. I just think it's sort of overrated. But I think in general, we use those terms for a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And Deanna has certainly been my sister in good times and in bad times. We've seen a lot of great things, and we've seen a lot of sorrow in other people and in ourselves, as we talked about the other day. It's a great thing to have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And so when Pastor James said, man, you're a beautiful family, you got it all together, but what I want you guys to know is that maybe they look good on the outside, and that's okay, but the greater thing is that they're beautiful on the inside. They bleed for this church. They bleed for the local community. They bleed for you guys. I've said many times, crying with the interceding for you guys and your problems, and it's just not something they do as a job. They could do anything. I don't know if you know, but Dee could go on the road right now and sing. And just sing. But she won't. Because she loves this place and she is faithful to stay where God has called her to stay. And so I just wanted to present you with a little bit of a gift. Where's the envelope? Mike, don't take the envelope part two. Okay. And there's an envelope. And we just do this as a way to honor. She doesn't want this. She doesn't. She would never want this or ask for this. But it's just a way to honor your, what we call sometimes, the first lady, which she cringes at that too. But just an honor to know you. So let me just pray for you real quick. Father, I just thank you for this beautiful woman of God. I thank you, Father God, that when you created her, when you knit her in her mother's womb, you created her for a time such as this, a purpose, a calling of God, greater than she would have ever thought or imagined. I thank you, Father God, for the mother's heart. She hears the cry of the children in her congregation crying out, yes. Crying out, Abba, Father. And I thank you that she's laid down her life, not so that she could get any glory of her own, but, Father God, so that she could glorify you in all that she does. I thank you from the top of her head to the very soles of her feet. Father God, a blessing, yeah. A blessing like an Esther blessing for this generation, for such a time as this. And I even pray as I lay my hands on her feet, Father God, yes. Wherever her foot would tread, Lord, you would keep her. You would keep her safe, Father God. You would give her direction, which way to go, which way not to go. And you would continually give her a sound mind.
Yes, God.
And continually enlarge her heart.
Yes, God.
Enlarge her heart, Father God, for things that you would want her to bleed for, to cry for, to intercede for. I thank you for this great woman of God. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Lord, I just pray as we get into the word that you would think through my mind, speak through my mouth, let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be accepted in thy sight. Lord, you are my strength and redeemer, and I thank you in every glad and happy heart. Say amen. Amen. I am happy to be here to celebrate with my friend, Pastor Lance. And what I want to say is Pastor Lance is a humble man. Now, you may not thought he was that humble when he was talking about his victories over Pastor Mike Cantrell. And, you know, And he in the other service, he said he launched it 60 yards. And Lance is a humble man. He is humble. And so I just, you know, Lance, you're so humble, I was just going to tell them of some of your defeats. like when you lost to Pastor Fikri in racquetball. Just tell the... Nobody witnessed it, so it didn't happen, but it was witnessed in heaven, brother. That is true. So you're a humble man. And when you lost to me at the lead pastor retreat to a game of basketball, did you lose? I didn't ask you to say it on the mic. Just wave your hand. And
am 7-1 against Pastor James. 7-1.
He's beat me one time. I asked you lose once. That humble man, Lance, God bless him. God bless him. So today I've got to do the work of giving you the word of God, and it's going to be fun. And I started out in the last service really trying to settle an argument that me and my son have had for quite some time. The argument goes like this. It's a real argument. It's a real beef. It got settled today in the earlier service, but I want to bring you into the light on it. And it's serious. It's so serious. In fact, it can bring heated discussions where he's allowed, even though he's 12 years old, to bring it strong, bring it, And the argument is this. If you and your family were in a burning house and you had to count on one of these two superheroes to save you out of the house, who would you choose? Little Batman or Iron Man? All those that would choose Iron Man, raise your hand. Y'all right. You smart, godly people. All those who would choose Little Batman, raise your hand. Y'all just want to be defiant. So, I settled the argument because my son said to me the reason he's gloating because I only changed today that he would trust Batman to do the job because Batman believes in making sure he doesn't kill people. Batman is a thinker. Batman is all about doing what's right and justice at all times. Whereas Iron Man will save you. He might hurt you in the process. You might lose a limb. You know, he might drop you. He might show up drunk. He might take you to a party. But you know, he's gonna show up. So he has selected the hero based on the dominant character. And when we look in this world right now, we need some heroes. But all of us are fallen, so we're going to have to select based on people who live selfless lives. I love that story because I believe that is a representation of Lance and Dee, who, he's strong. I'm just going to boast about my friend for a minute. He can do a lot of things well, better than most people. But you know what I find? He gets a little bit of glory because he can say he won, but most of the time he wins for everybody around him. And that's what makes him great. That's what makes you great, sir. That's what makes you great. And I appreciate it. In today's message, I'm going to use a familiar story to help you understand that the world that was had problems and we have problems. Number two, that God's answer to your problems has always been a person first. And God does not send the person without the provision and the plan to actually see you safe and saved. And I'm going to use the life of Noah to talk about it. Let me start by saying problems. Problems are something right now that everybody feels that they have. If I ask you right now, if you're broke, you might say almost, you might say yes, or you might say I'm on my way. And that's a problem to me. When you look out at the world and you look out the systems of the world, you look at the lawgivers and the lawmakers, there's been a great deal of disappointment, especially in the Christian community, because the decisions that have been made and the laws that have been made haven't been consistent with our faith, and it makes you feel like there's problems. When you hear that there's wars and rumors of wars, problems. When you see immorality at an all-time high and spiking, and television is no longer war cleaver, leave it to beaver. It's just other stuff now. And you look, and you don't know if you should. It's all wrong, and it says problems. When I grew up in Detroit, Michigan, every movie theater we have has metal detectors. My whole life. You go through school, you go through metal detectors. You go through pat downs, random drug screens for everybody. I mean, that's problems. And you can have so many problems, in fact, that you can despair of life and not even want to live. I'm not talking about killing yourself. I'm just talking about that place where that sadness, that deep sorrow, that deep disappointment kind of touches you and you say, I don't even care. And maybe it's difficult to raise your hand right now, but I can raise my hand. I don't even care. If there's a better day, that's good, but it's not enough better days that can be strung together to make me care. I despair of life. And you're not alone in that. Bible says that Moses asked if he could cash out early. Lord, these people ain't doing nothing, I say. Tired of them. They complain all the time. Want me to feed them, give them water, shoes and stuff. I got to wait on you. They got to wait on me. He said, just let me get out of here. Jonah wanted to die because he hated to see evil people forgiven. If God's going to be forgiving people, just take me off the planet. Because I had some stuff that happened to me. That's why I went down to Tarsus. Yeah, put me back in the fish. Elijah, he was living in a time when people was, when Jezebel was killing the prophets. He beat her, and then she threatened him. He ran, and he's sitting out there in the middle of the desert being fed by an angel because he wanted to lay down and die. He said, Lord, they let me die. See, you can hear problems, see problems, experience problems, and you just end up like George Bailey. I wish I never was born. I wish I never was born. Because if I didn't see evil, I wouldn't have to touch evil. If I didn't touch evil, I wouldn't have to be evil. And it's not even what I hate in others. It's really the things I hate in me. I hate the fact that somebody can trip me up with the same thing over and over again. You know how it goes. You just tempted. Now, I've been trying to lose weight. You don't get this big by eating apples. It's the truth. Apples don't do this. And I know somebody said, no, you looking fit. Look, it's a bigger suit. What you do, you make it where you can't tell. You can't tell. It's all there. All there. Okay. Thank you, dear. You're so sweet. That's why you're a first lady. Praise God. So, you know, and this is how I know that this is a right now problem. I got problems that right now, this ain't coming to me later. This is right now. Because this morning is the only time I had some victory over some of my food issues, because I knew I was going to be preaching. And you know, you don't want to sin before you preach. You just wait to after. Tell the truth now. So it's some cake, two platters of sliced cake on the counter at home right now. Moist, nice. Somebody cooked that and gave it to us that can cook. Now, just a side note, if you can't cook, don't offer the pastor food. If you don't know if your food is good, don't ask. If the only person you cook for is your family and the pastor, don't offer. He didn't tell me that. I'm just throwing that out there. The cake was there. I ate the cake. And then I said, I'm going to be fine. But then the whole day, I kept on circling the, you know how you do that? And you know, we don't even get a plate, that's wrong. And then, you know, you say to yourself, if I ate a piece, I might as well eat a slice. If I get a slice, I might as well eat the amount of slices I really wanted. And then I should wake up tomorrow, if it's still there, and not disrespect the people who gave it to me by not eating more. And then at the end of the few days, you know, I only gained a few pounds. I can get rid of a few pounds. So I can go another week. And then I can get that off. And before you know it, a habit that I have broken is something that's back. And now I got problems. More problems. Now, I don't know what your sin issue is. I don't know what your problem is. But usually we are good at multiplying the problem we have by the attention we give to it. Man, I'm broke. I'm broke. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm broke. I'm broke. How broke, man? I'm so broke. I don't even. I'm Brock. Problems. And for every problem you have, God graces you with a person that can handle the problem. The first person who decided to handle humanity's problem is Jesus Christ. The first time a problem showed up, he showed up. The first time. And he showed up with a promise. I'm going to come and I'm going to bust the head of your enemy. I'm going to come. He might bruise the heel, but I'm going to crush his head. I'm going to come and the volume of the book is written to me. I'm going to come and lay down my life to redeem. I'm going to come and give you a plan of salvation. I'm going to come. When he comes with the simplest plan. The day you hear my voice, do not harden your heart and say, I'm going to get to you when I just do one more thing. Take one more look. Take one more taste. Do it one more time. I'll get to you, just not today. Have you ever been in that spot? Are you in that spot right now where the plan of God is clear to you? And your resistance to it is equally clear. I'm going to show you today in the scriptures, going to head to Genesis chapter 6, that God is not unfamiliar with problems. And he's always got a person to help you through those problems. that they don't just come and show up and say nothing. They have a plan that'll keep you safe, that'll get you saved, and it'll get you living the life based on promises. Okay, so let's go to that Genesis verse. And the context of it is, right now you have in chapter 4. So since the fall, you have Cain and Abel. You know that story. That didn't go wrong. That didn't go right. Then from there, you have the descendants of Cain listed in chapter 4. And in chapter 5, Adam and Eve have a son named Seth. And you have all the line of Seth listed. In chapter 6, you have God beginning to describe a world that is so confused that he makes the following statements in verse 5. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. You talking about the problems that you have, I'm telling you that the people right here, right in this particular age in the ancient time, they had the wrong heart, they had the wrong mindset, and they had the wrong actions, and it wasn't something that they ever took a break from. The Bible says that they were continually doing wrong, thinking wrong, and being wrong. So no matter how much that we despise abortion in our generation as believers, they were killing and murdering well beyond that. No matter how much we despise pornography, they didn't even need a TV to get theirs going on. Okay, it was just wicked all the time, and there was no break from it. There was no break. That's a problem. When everybody you turn to is so selfish and so self-centered that they can take your life at any moment. Wow. We're not there yet. And I know that our problems don't always seem so big that it's the worst thing that has ever happened. But remember this, I always say it, everybody's got a horror story. Before you tell me yours, why don't you hear mine? And when you hear other people's stories, maybe your life is not as bad as you think. And maybe when you look at other ages and times, maybe this age that God has blessed you to live in is not as bad. It's not as bad. That doesn't mean we don't need to fix some things, but it's not as bad. Verse 6. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot him out, whom I've created from the face of the land, man and animal and creeping things and birds in heaven, for I am sorrowful that I've made him. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Can you imagine being so upset about something that is going on that you just say, I give up completely? Can you imagine that you can experience some type of hurt as an individual that makes you say, it's just not worth it anymore? Now here it is, the Lord saying that he is grieved and he is sorry that he made man and actually put man on the earth. But the best thing we have is that God's character is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, that he still remains committed to his plan, even though emotionally he can be disappointed. Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, having to go to the cross, and he was praying out to God, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But and it was God's will for it to happen. He still goes through with the cross, but it doesn't change the emotion that he cried with sweats of blood. The pain was still there. Moses loved the people so much that he told God when he was ready to get rid of them, keep them people. Then he turned around and told God, I can't stand the people. Can you get rid of the people? You see, the plan remains the same, but our emotions can change. You can have emotions. Look, if you've ever offended somebody in here before, raise your hand. Keep it up if you did it to somebody close to you. If somebody's offended you, keep your hand up. and it was somebody close to you, if they wasn't even regretting it and making you feel that they was even sorry and like beating themselves down, if they ain't never, if raise your hand, you know. So what we really want is for somebody, when they have upset us, to pay. I want you to feel the pain I feel. I want you to go through what I'm going through. In other words, there are times when we experience things and the pain is so great that it causes you to cry out about it. It causes you to say, man, I'm hurt. I'm sorry. I would never have had this pain if we would have never been together. I know you wanted to say it. You want to say it now, but you can't. They looking at you. But if God can have pain, you got to give yourself a little space to have some pain too. But God did the right thing with his pain. He stuck to his plan. He gave himself that moment to express how he felt. And then he went on and did the right thing. And that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. You know, you're not going to avoid, by the way, this pain in life. You know how I tried to avoid it? Before I got married, I was so nervous that, you know, I was going to be a statistic or something, that I took 2 weeks to sit down, and I remember going through every scenario possible that could happen and telling myself, here's what you're going to do. I thought about, if that happened, I got you. This is what I'm going to do. If this happened, this is what I'm going to do. And by the time I got all that right, I went to my wife. She's sitting right there. I said, we on. We got this. I got this. Well, you know, all the married people know, when you first get in, the things that start happening are not the stuff that you thought about. It's all that other stuff. And you start thinking, wow, I ain't think about this. What am I going to do? Stick to the plan, but state your pain. That's what I had to do. Because I saw the example of a person who had done it. Noah found favor in the eyes of God. Favor lets you know that the fact that he got favor means he didn't deserve it, because favor is unmerited. The type of favor you get from God is unmerited. This is critical that you understand this, because the favor that we give to one another is not about what you deserve. Yeah, and I mean, I'm going to hold it. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I'll stay here. The Holy Ghost tell me stay here on this for a second, so I'm going to listen. Love, when you say you love somebody, love is not what you get, but what you get to give to another person who does not deserve it. Love is not what you get, but what you get to give to another person who does not deserve it. That's favor. It's unmerited. It's undeserved. And when you realize that you've been loved in a way that you don't deserve to be, and you get the revelation of it, you know what it allows you to do? Love other people appropriately. Love other people right. Because what I was really saying in my ignorance of love, I will love you as long as you love me perfectly the way you said you would. And I got a little space for you to go off script just a little bit. But if you go too far, I got to make you pay through my attitude. I've got to make you pay through my absence. I've got to make you pay through my words. I've got to make you pay through my aggression. I got to make you pay because I'm trying to stay committed to the plan, and I can't stay in it unless you start getting better. You get better, we can make it work. Anybody ever lived there? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Especially if they're in the row. Just raise it behind your back. No. God. Yeah, I say that, Holy Ghost. God is in the restoration business. And I can perceive in the spirit the contemplation of justifiable reactions to the pain that you feel without leaning into the help and the person of Jesus Christ. And I can hear the Spirit saying, I'm available to help, but you've got to be available to receive. And even this, you have said, I turn my face away from God. I turn my nose. That you have actually heard God telling you it can be better with him. But because you want justice, you're holding on. And I just pray today that you let go. You let go. Let go. Let go. Let them go. Let your parents go. Some of you is holding on to the pain of the parents. Let them go. Forgive them. Let your spouse go. Was it hurtful? Yes. Was it right? No. Are you still responsible to love and hold on to the plan? Yes. Don't change it. We don't have to be gloomy because the Lord's speaking, you know. You just thank you, Jesus, and you move on and smile. All right. Person. Verse 9 says, these are the generations of Noah. And if I ever wanted something said about me when I died or when I get to heaven, if anybody ever says these three things about me, I'd be happy, even for a day. Noah was a righteous man. Now, Noah was living in the most wicked time that had ever been. It's so wicked, in fact, that the Bible says, before he comes, this world will return to the days of Noah. Wow. You know how bad it is? Until everybody's thought is always continually evil in their actions. We're not there yet. And God could only find one man, not two, not three. No distant cousins. One man who he can call righteous. And he wasn't righteous because he did never do anything incorrectly. He was righteous because he had spent enough time with God to know that God's plan to redeem man involved him coming and making a way out of nowhere. And he had faith that God could do something to redeem mankind, and his faith was counted to him as righteousness, just like Abraham's faith was. Do you have faith in God, or are you going through the religious activities of showing up to church and reading your Bible and showing up to small groups and telling people something you don't even believe? And I'm going to tell you, that can happen. It can happen to anybody that's in this room who rehearses saying the right thing out of their mouth, but it hadn't hit your heart yet as a revelation that God is who he says he is, and he can do what he says he can do, and he can rescue you out of any problem or any distress you have. And being righteous is not something that you're capable of doing without him. Because if you don't have his atoning sacrifice, his blood to wash you clean and make you right, if you don't have the just for the unjust, the pure for the impure, if you don't have him imputing righteousness to you, you don't have anything. In fact, when he sees you, he's not looking at the man of failures or the woman of failures. He's looking at his own victory. His own victory. What, you, baby, you don't have your mic. That's what I, you know. It's just... because it's lyrics of the song, I remember. I want her to see this song because this is what God is doing when he sees us, when he sees me.
When he sees me, he sees his righteousness. He sees the Holy Spirit filling up the emptiness. When he looks at me, he sees the blood he shed. So glad he sees himself each time he looks at me. So glad he sees himself each time he looks at me.
Just one more time. You got to get that in your spirit.
When he sees me, he sees his righteousness. He sees the Holy Spirit filling up the emptiness. When he looks at me, he sees the blood he shed. So glad he sees himself each time he looks at me. So glad he sees himself each time he looks at me.
Praise God. Praise God. I'm glad he sees himself each time he looks at me. It's his righteousness, not mine. There's none good, none righteous, no, not one. He gives you the exchange. What makes a man or woman right is not what they do, but what they have received. And I know this is why it's called good news. I'm serious. This is why it's called good news. Because that's unbelievable. Because you want to say, wait a minute, do you know what I did? And I did that when I knew better. I was part of the problem. You still want me? Yeah. Other thing he was named for, he was blameless. I love this. Let me give you some synonyms for blameless. Let me give you some definition for blameless. Innocent. Guiltless. Above reproach. Irreproachable. Unimpeachable. In the clear. Exemplary. Virtuous, pure, impeccable, faultless. Can one of those words be said about me? Faultless. You want to attach any of those words to me? Because only you know. Through God. See, I got a through God. No, that's right. That's where it is. Because the brother had a revelation of God, he could walk in such a way that was blameless. But the third thing really lets you know how he was blameless. And that Bible says that he was a man who walked with God. The real secret weapon to being the person that God can use to solve the problem is being a person that walks with God, because he can hear how to be righteous. He can hear how to be blameless. He can hear God's plan of salvation. He can hear God telling him, hold your peace. Let me fight your battle. I know Miss Noah ain't acting right, but just hold your peace. He knows how to tell you how not to go off the deep end. He knows how to tell you. And Micah 6 and 8 tells us the same thing. Quote that scripture again for me, whoever quoted it before. That's my path. Live peaceably. Walk humbly. Well, let me find it now. Don't worry, you just need to hear it. That's Micah. Somebody get their Bible, don't just, yeah. Just turn. Hey, Micah 6, 8, yeah.
Yes. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. There you
go. Walk humbly with your God. It is the privilege of every person in this room to have the opportunity to walk with God. He walks with me, talks with me. A long life's narrow way. You can walk with God. When you're walking with God, you're in the presence of God. And the Bible says, in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy, and in his right hand, pleasures evermore. God has something that you can get from him that causes you to leave the pleasures of this world. There are things that the world offers you. There are material things. There are things outside of the bounds of marriage. There's all these kind of nasty, wrong things that we can develop an appetite for. But you know what? You'll stop thinking that they're pleasurable, because the Bible says sin is pleasurable for a season. When you get in the presence of God, then you'll know what true pleasure is. You'll know what true delight is. And when you begin to worship God and create that atmosphere in your home, and create that atmosphere in your car by what you listen to, and create that atmosphere here at church and in your community, if you won't be ashamed to praise and worship God, because God inhabits the praises of his people. So Bible says that walking with God means that you can speak to yourself and others in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melodies into your heart as unto the Lord. That means there's never a time when your activities and your actions are not worship to God. And you can't just keep on sending worship up to God and he not fill you with his presence. There's a way that you can walk among the problems of this earth, and you can get declared righteous and blameless, because you're shielded and you're enveloped by the precious glory of God. And he walked out of there with a provision and a plan. And I'll just end by just telling you, you know the story. He built an ark because God told him to do so. He built an ark, and it was made of wood, and it was to be on the water. It had three levels, 450 feet long, 150 feet wide, 70 feet high. It had enough for all of the animals that he had, he was supposed to get on there. But he had two other decks that could have been filled if you filled the whole thing to capacity. And what was it going to be filled with? People. Because the Bible says this righteous man, Noah, preached 120 years to a generation that had problems, to a generation who had wickedness, to a generation who rejected him. And he still was preaching. He wasn't preaching because there was no possibility for someone to turn. He was preaching because there was every possibility to turn. And the Bible goes on to say that in Noah's day, God was patient. The scripture says God was patient during Noah's day to let time pass. In other words, God could have built the ark faster. It took 120 years to build, not because of the primitive nature of Noah, but because of the patience and love of God. A lot of times we try to figure out why did we stay in the pain. It's because God is trying to make provision for you. The pain is not there to break you. God has shown up in the form of Jesus Christ. He is God, fully man. Jesus Christ is trying to tell you that he doesn't have to take you out of the problems. He's putting you in as the answer to the problems. Because when you surrender your life to Christ, you get to get the same results that Christ has gotten. I want to tell you that they successfully got off the ark. Eight people were saved. And they heard God say these words: prosper, multiply, fill the earth, rule over it, or have dominion. He blessed them, and he made a covenant with them. He says, and this covenant is going to be a sign. It's going to be a sign in heaven. It's the last scripture I'll read. And put that picture up for me. I was just in Colorado a few weeks ago, praying on a mountain with some men. And while we were concluding the prayer, as we were crying out to God about problems, God was reminding us that we were the persons sent to solve the problems. As God began to whisper the plan and the provisions he made for us to herald, it wasn't easy to hear the stuff. And right about the time that we would have kind of just got in self-pity, everybody stopped. That's what happened. Everybody was taken because not just one rainbow, but two were sown. And here's what God says about the rainbow. When I bring clouds over the earth and a bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature and all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood and destroy all flesh. When my bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature. I'm here to remind you that God hadn't forgotten you. He hadn't just begun his good work, and he's not going to finish it out by bringing it to completion. I'm here to remind you that this is not a place of empty seats or two services. This is a place of an abundant harvest, but every harvest is meant to be gathered in, and God has given you to go out and reap where you have not sowed. That is the word of the Lord. Hear it. That means that this is not a lot of work that you have to do. That when you got the truest revelation of Jesus, living blameless is doing the work. How could he be blameless? How could he be righteous? How could he walk with God? And how could it be proven that in a generation that was full of problems and going the wrong direction, he was somewhere in the wilderness building an ark and then spending the rest of his time preaching to people? You're those persons, like Pastor Lance, Pastor Mike, Dee, Christy, blameless, righteous. That's not because they don't have problems or challenges. That's because they knew to take them to the cross. Did you take your stuff to the cross yet? Is the cross partly in you, but not all the way in you? Is it still a story you wish was true, but you don't know it's true? Bow your head. Close your eyes. Just take a moment. We're at the conclusion of the service. You're getting ready to go home. But this is one of them silent type moments where nobody's going to call you up. Nobody's going to call you out. Nobody's going to look around but me and Pastor Lance. And even that's not our business. It's a moment between you and Jesus where you figure out if the problems have been getting more victory over you than God's provision. When you're the person that's a part of the problem instead of the solution. And is it really because you've never taken that golden ticket and gotten on the ark? You've never taken hold of the cross and made Jesus Lord of your life? Or maybe you need to come back to him and make him the chief of your life? And no one knows but you and Jesus. You know it's between you and Jesus, but I'm going to ask you as an act of faith that if you heard in the message today something that helps you realize that you and Jesus are not on the right terms and you want to get that right, nobody's going to call you to the front. Nobody's going to make you get out your seat. Nobody's going to out you. But you need to acknowledge the Lord. And the way you're going to acknowledge him is I'm going to count to three in a moment. I'm just going to have you put your hand up, and then I'm going to have you put it down because you need him. And he's going to take that as a sign of faith, and he's going to reach you right where you're at. So when I count three, if this description fits you, get that hand up quick. One, two, three. Thank you for these hands.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, Pastor Lance and I pray right now a prayer of agreement over every person that's got their hand up.
Yes.
They will no longer be a prisoner to anything that keeps them away from the revelation that Jesus Christ has made them righteous, blameless, and whole. I pray, Lord, whatever's been plaguing them in their individual life through challenges and struggles and marriage or whatever, I pray, God, through the miraculous working power that's in your Holy Spirit and the calling out your name, that that be ended now in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
And whatever desire they have that's more than a desire for you, it's gone now in Jesus' name. And I pray whatever habit they couldn't break is broken now in Jesus' name. If they had lost hope, hope returned to them now in Jesus' name. And I pray that the fire of Almighty God that has hit my life and Pastor Lance and Pastor Mike and radically transformed us to hate sin and love God, that that same fire would hit in this place. Not for a moment, but for all time. God, we bless you. We thank you in Jesus' name. When we took those hands down and give God praise,
come on.
Stand and give God a hand clap of praise.
Come on, let's stand to our